if you don't come back to stay. Old rocking chair will get me, but all I do is pray that the Lord above will let me
walk in the sun once more.
Can't go on,
can't go on.
Everything I have is gone. Stormy weather,
stormy weather.
Ooh. Me and Mac Allen been together,
been together. Ooh.
Keeps raining all the time,
all time, all time, all time, all time.
Since you've been away, the blues walked in and met me. If you don't come back to stay, old rock.
A different song, Looking for an Echo, which was released in the mid-70s, is a snapshot of a certain place and time. The sound of the streets in the Bronx, Brooklyn, and Queens in the 1950s and early 1960s. As popular as it was at the time, it can be argued that doo-wop never quite got the respect that it deserves. As an original member of Jay and the Americans, Kenny Vance sang on hits like She Cried and Cara Mia and opened for the Beatles and the Rolling Stones in 1964. He produced an early version of Steely Dan and went on to a successful career in Hollywood. Last week, Kenny Vance and the Planetones released A Cappella, celebrating a career that spans four decades. And it brings Kenny Vance to our studio today. Hello.
Good morning. How are you?
Your band, Kenny Vance and the Planetones, has been together for 20 years now?
Yes.
Would it have become a group if the film American Hot Wax hadn't been made?
I probably wouldn't have had the idea to do it because I never was the lead singer in the early days. And
you had two different Jays in Jay and the Americans.
That's right. But for some reason, I was just happy to sing harmony. It was something about just having matching suits that worked for me. I didn't really need to be the lead singer. But when I was the music director on American Hot Wax, which was really a labor of love because we got to recreate a show that I had seen when I was 15, the Alan Freed show at the Brooklyn Paramount. And the director asked me, he says, we need another group. And I said, well, okay, I could do that. So I became Professor LaPlano and the Planetones. And then we took a 13-year break. And then in the early 90s, I just was getting a little older, and I thought, if you get a chance in this life to do what you love, you're a lucky person. And I just decided to form a group.
Not the same people you had in the movie.
In the beginning, there were a couple of the same guys. Joe Esposito and Bruce Sedano and Eddie Hokanson were part of the group. But economics and different reasons, people left. And so I decided to form the group, the Planetones, again.
Is it hard finding people who can sing in that kind of tight harmony? At the time, practically every doo-wop group did it. And then later, perhaps the Beach Boys, Crosby, Stills, Nash, and Young, but not many others, seem to be able to pull it off.
I think you have to be a certain age. You have to have grown up with it so that it's in your cells, it's in your DNA. You can't really train younger people to do it, and I know they've tried, but it's not really the same thing. So in recreating the group and as the personnel come in and out, you have to find people that are of a certain age.
Well, this is music that's often relegated to the oldies bins, dismissed as nostalgic music. Why do you think it remains so powerful in the memories of the older baby boomers?
I think people, first of all, there's something very pure about it, something very honest about it. And that's why, you can't really fool kids. It seems like they gravitated to it because it was so honest and so pure. And now as they grow up and life takes over and hardships and the realities of life take over, when they can reconnect to that part of themselves, they're happy about that. And so they look to connect with it.
And we're starting to see a renewed interest in it. I just recently spoke to Aaron Neville, who has also put out a CD of doo-wop songs.
Oh, cool.
Songs from that era. Mm-hmm. I wonder whether it ever could really experience a revival.
I don't know, but I do know
Frank Zappa tried at one point.
Oh, with Reuben and the Jets. Right?
Yeah.
I like that record. There's something about the songs. If you try to write those kinds of songs, you really can't write them. People like Raul Cita from the Harptones wrote Life is But a Dream, My Memories of You. Fred Parrish wrote In the Still of the Night. Lee Andrews wrote Teardrops and Long Lonely Nights. Speedo wrote Gloria and Speedo. There's something wonderful about those songs. There's something innocent about them, and they're great songs. Well, Could This Be Magic by the Dubs?
Well, the sense was that this was amateurs becoming professionals. These were you and Jay and the Americans, for example. You were just a bunch of kids, a bunch of Jewish kids. In fact, everybody changes his name, as far as I know, who started singing together and then wound up meeting Lieber and Stoller.
Yeah. Well, that was our big break. That was a blessing because Jerry and Mike were the two greatest producers at the time, producing the Drifters and the Coasters.
And he wanted to call you Binky Jones and the Americans.
They did. I know. But we didn't like that, so we said, well, let's settle on the guy's nickname, which was Jay.
And that was Jay Traynor.
Correct.
But later, people will remember Jay Black.
Right.
So you actually had two lead singers named Jay. Was it important when you were looking for a replacement for Jay Traynor to find a guy named Jay?
No, his name really wasn't Jay. We changed it to Jay.
Ah. What was your first hit?
With
Jay and the Americans.
The first record that we recorded with Jerry and Mike was Tonight from West Side Story, which was played on WMGM. 1050 on your dial, which was, I forget who the disc jockey was, but it became a territorial hit. And then we recorded She Cried in 1961. And at the end of 61, early 62, it became a number one record.
And then you met Walter Becker and Donald Fagen. Were they already calling themselves Steely Dan?
No. I met them in 1968. We, at that point, Jay and the Americans had a lot of hits, and we decided to open up a production company in the Brill Building where we had met Jerry Lieber and Mike Stoller. And one day these two guys knocked on the door, and they said, we took the elevator up to the top floor and we've been walking down. We were on the fourth floor, and no one will listen to our songs if you don't have a demo tape. So I said, well, come on in. We had an upright piano, and they sat down and played songs like Charlie Freak, Brain Tap Shuffle, Any World That I'm Welcome To, and Shuffling Up Your Downs. And there was something about it that I thought was great. And I started to make records with them.
They
did pretty well. And actually, they were part of the last incarnation of Jay and the Americans. They were the band.
Hmm. Well, I also went to the Brill Building with my best friend at the time, Roy Markowitz, who was a drummer, later played with Janis Joplin. And we went to Herald Records, and we sang
Al Silva.
Yeah. We sang our song, which was really awful. But they said, it's okay, get us a demo. We recorded it on a home tape recorder, a Webcore.
Right.
Brought it to some company to make a disc. And Johnny Mercer was there recording some demos. And they said, Johnny, can you just wait a moment while we take care of these kids? And that was the first great humiliation of my life. He just winced as he heard this terrible recording that we did.
That's great.
With Roy playing drums and me singing lead.
Oh.
Well, big deal. But anyway, it was going to be the Turbans. It never got released. So that was an exciting time going into the Brill Building.
It was a great time.
So you, what about this new CD, A Cappella? Is it mostly old songs? Oh, well, Stormy Weather, of course, that was your that was a song that doo-wop groups also sang at the time. But this is your arrangement?
Yeah, it's our arrangement, but it's basically based on the Spaniels' version of it, which is pretty much like that. The other songs are just songs that have lived in our consciousness for 50 years. And I thought, we've put out over the last 20 years about a dozen CDs, and I just thought it was time to, you know, as the guys in those groups are no longer here, and as we're getting older, I just thought now is the time to really make an informational record for people that don't know what it really was, since we do have the ability to still do that.
Was it important to do it a cappella? Because the music of the time was mostly piano-based. Later, rock and roll became guitar-based, but it was rare to hear an a cappella record.
It's true, but, you know, we would hear the records on Alan Freed, but this was before it was cool to have a guitar.
Yeah, there was a piano and a saxophone.
It wasn't cool to have a guitar until the Beatles came on the scene. So we didn't have instruments, so if we wanted to imitate those songs, we'd have to go into a garage or a lobby of a building and sing them a cappella. So that's the way we were trained.
And you brought a guitar, so obviously you picked up guitar somewhere along the line.
Well, I picked up the guitar. We opened for the Beatles in 1964, and then in 1966 we opened for the Rolling Stones at Carnegie Hall. And the disc jockey on the show, Murray the K, he says, if you guys don't close the second show, there's going to be a riot. So we said, well, we can't follow the Rolling Stones. So, of course, we had no choice, and he says, he's from Brooklyn, Jay and the Americans, and we came out and we're singing our song Only in America, and the audience is getting up and running out of the theater. And at the end of the song, we had cleared Carnegie Hall.
But that had been a big hit.
It didn't matter. They were running out to see the Stones. So when I went, I took the train home to Brooklyn, I thought, I better pick up a guitar.
To keep up with
what was going on.
And you have, but you also, the movies that you worked in, how did you wind up writing music scores and serving as the musical supervisor for American Hot Wax? Animal House, did you actually meet John Belushi and Eddie and the Cruisers?
I produced John Belushi singing Louie Louie and Money.
Mm-hmm.
And in Eddie and the Cruisers, I produced John Cafferty singing On the Dark Side. And the whole album, I produced the whole Animal House album. And I got involved in it because I had done a CD an album for Atlantic in 1974 with the when I had left Jay and the Americans in 72. In 74, I did my own album for Atlantic with the original version of Looking for an Echo. And some people at Paramount Pictures heard that, and they said, this guy might be the right guy to do the Alan Freed, be the music director for the Alan Freed movie, and they flew me out to California. And that's basically how my career as a music producer for period films started.
Who wrote Looking for an Echo?
A guy named Richie Reischig, a guy from Brooklyn.
Did he write it with you in mind?
I don't know if he wrote it with me in mind, but we were friends, and as we collaborated, we wound up doing the version of it that I did in 1974.
Kenny Rosenberg, how did you become Kenny Vance?
Well, you know, we started traveling down south a lot in 1962, 1963, and I mean, I have some stories that I'll tell you some other time, but, you know, it was so far out that we just figured, you know, it's better to just be somebody else.
Right. So you all change your names.
Yeah.
You brought the guitar along. Do you compose on the guitar?
I do.
Are you going to play something for us?
No, I could play an old song.
Maybe. I would love to hear an old song. Do I have to do the background?
Forever, my darling, my love will be true.
Johnny Ace.
Always and forever, I love only you. Just promise me, darling, your love in return. Make this fire in my soul, dear, forever burn. Ooh, let's do it together.
By the hands of the tender.
Ooh. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. One more time.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
John Eastwood a sad story. He killed himself playing Russian roulette.
That's what they say.
That's the legend.
But there's also another version of it. He was on a label owned by Don Robey.
Oh, yes, the legendary Don Robey.
And some people said that Don Robey might have shot him. I don't know. I don't know who was in the room at the time, so in 1954.
Mm. Well, so are you going to go on tour with this CD, a cappella? You don't have to hire backup musicians.
We don't really. We work mostly on the weekends. We're going to be heading down to Florida, playing down there on the East Coast, and then we're heading over to the West Coast. And this weekend we're going out to Pittsburgh. We're playing at the Benedine Theater out in Pittsburgh this Saturday night.
You also were a musical director of a Saturday Night Live.
Yeah,
that was
a lot of fun.
And I hear that you've had a bit of a problem recently. Weren't you hurt by Hurricane Sandy?
You might say that. It's over 3 months now, and I was on a cruise. We were playing on a doo-wop cruise with Frankie Avalon and Dion and a lot of other people. And I was watching the Weather Channel, and all of a sudden this storm took a turn, and I thought, oh, my God, I'd been living there for 40 years in this house. My house was built in 1916, and I had always come back after hurricanes, and it was there. But this time I came back a few days later and came down the street, and my house was gone.
Gone totally?
Gone.
Wow.
Yeah.
You're going to rebuild there?
I don't know. It's so many things are up in the air with what they're going to do with it, so I don't know.
Well, you could always go back to the old neighborhood. Where did you grow up?
In Flatbush.
Yeah, well, yeah. It's become
it's fine.
Hip again.
Yeah. It wasn't hip then, that's for sure.
Thank you so much for being with us. Kenny Vance, loved the new album, Kenny Vance and the Planetones. It's called Acapella, and it's on Planetones Records.
It's on La Plano.
La Plano Records.
Yes, of course. It's released out of the trunk of my car.
At Erasmus Hall High School, we used to harmonize. Me and Benny and Ira and two Italian guys. We were singing oldies, but they were newies then. And today when I play my old 45s, I remember when. We'd practice in a subway, in a lobby or a hall. Crowded in a doorway, singing doo-wops to the wall. And if we went to a party and they wouldn't let us sing, we'd lock ourselves in the bathroom and nobody could get in.